It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. Today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God, like on Azusa Street? A great awakening. And wonders, all God's glory on display. A great awakening. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now, yeah. Let nothing stand between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. We need to see a change.
Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Friday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio. Your 24-hour internet prayer station. We're going to pray because we know that we are a force in the earth when we pray together. So it's going to be a great broadcast. I have some wonderful news to share with you. And this is the Hour of Power. And it's good to have you listening in today. It's good to have you praying with me. And we're just believing for revival in America. Another spiritual awakening. And speaking of a spiritual awakening, I have some good news to share. So if you are not getting my daily prayer that I send out to somewhere around 7,000 people every day, you can do that by going to letsprayamerica.com. Letsprayamerica.com and sign up. We're believing for 1,000 churches, 1,000 cities. We're going to be sharing some of the cities that are praying with us all across America. If your city is not praying with us, it can. You can sign your city up by going to letsprayamerica.com. And we will certainly put you on the map. And I'm believing for 1,000 points of light, 1,000 points of light as we pray for our nation. Because we do know that we're in jeopardy, but I have some good news for you. So, Father, we just come bowling into your presence today by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, declaring, God, you are our Father, and we are your sons and daughters. And we just pray right now in Jesus' name that you will anoint this service, this prayer broadcast here on BPN Radio today. Open our spiritual eyes that we might see. Open our spiritual ears that we might hear. And open our hearts that we might receive. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I do want to remind you that Gene and I will be ministering at Life Church in Port Arthur, Texas, Sunday, June the 14th. Sunday, June the 14th. Two services, three services. Two Sunday morning, one Sunday night. And you can go to Life Church, Port Arthur, Texas. Google that in for more information. Donnie and Jessica Robbins are the founders and pastors of that church. In the midst of all the bad news that's going on across this nation, the talk shows, particularly the conservative talk shows on radio and television, are sharing a lot of these things. And in the midst of all of this bad news that's going on, Jade Helms occupying Walmart stores, doing political exercises, exercises in several states, including Texas. Not political exercises, military exercises in several states, including Texas. The Supreme Court about to decide on same-sex marriage. Police being ordered to stand down in many cities while criminals do their thing. Iran building their nuclear arsenal, talking about destroying Israel as well as America. ISIS spreading their acts of terror across the Middle East, threatening Americans as well. All of these things are taking place in this nation, occupying most of the programming space in this nation. But I have some good news, and the good news is that we are going to experience a third spiritual awakening in America. And I see it happening. And I know there's a lot of adversity on every hand. Storms in America, more storm clouds gathering, but there is hope. And the Bible says that this is a hope that makes not ashamed. So I'm going to talk about what a spiritual awakening looks like, because I know that we have been having you to pray, and have many churches praying, and many people group prayings, and calling for prayer leaders, which they are responding to lead a weekly prayer group, and all in response, all of this talking about revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And so, what does a spiritual awakening look like? I tried to get my friend Dr. Eddie Hyatt, who's been my friend since we were teenagers, on the other end of the line to talk to us today, but I believe he must be out ministering somewhere. But he's written a book entitled 2,000 Years of Charismatic History. He wrote this book back in 1998, and I had the privilege of writing an endorsement concerning his book. And this is a tremendous book that I would recommend everybody to purchase, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity with Dr. Eddie Hyatt, who has been a professor at Oral Roberts University, Christ for the Nations, and just been an incredible historian on many awakening, the two other awakenings and many revivals across America. He lives in Grapevine, Texas, and has a ministry that you can be in touch with just by Googling, or actually by going to eddiehyatt.com. Eddie Hyatt, EddieHyatt, eddiehyatt.com. So I'm going to talk about what a spiritual awakening looks like. But first of all, my spiritual grandson, who is in Poland, actually my two spiritual grandsons, Leland and Jack Mooring, both there along with the band, and they've been doing some ministry in those nations, Poland and Norway, other countries. But anyhow, they've written a song, and they have recorded it entitled The Great Awakening. So they're going to sing The Great Awakening, And then I'm going to talk about the Great Awakening, what it looks like. It's going to be a wonderful day.
One man awakes, awakens another. Second one awakes, his next door brother. Three awaken, rise the town and turn the whole place upside down. Many awake will cause such a fuss. And finally awakes all of us. One man with dawn in his eyes, surely then it multiplies, surely then it multiplies. One man awakes, awakens another. Second one awakes, his next door brother. Three awaken, rouse the town, turn the whole place upside down.
Okay, there you have it, Leland and Jack Mooring, Spiritual Grandsons, and they're talking about the Great Awakening that's coming to this nation, and I believe that's what we're praying for, and when it starts, it's just going to multiply. So, Father, we just agree right now, in Jesus' name, for another spiritual awakening in America. We're thankful for over 1,000 churches that are now represented here on the Breakout Prayer Network, and we are so thankful for all of the cities that are represented here on the Breakout Prayer Network, over 700 cities. And now we have approximately 60 prayer groups that have started as a part of the Breakout Prayer Network. We're going to be recognizing some of those as we pray for another spiritual awakening in America. We thank you, Father God. We trust you and believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So what does a spiritual awakening look like? Well, I'm reading today from 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity, a book written by Eddie Hyatt that I would highly recommend that everybody purchase, because he's a great historian and a great man of God. So he talks about the first great awakening. The first great awakening happened from 1726 till 1750. So it lasted for 24 years. That is absolutely amazing. Colonial America, he writes, Colonial America in 1726 was in moral and spiritual decline. Does that sound familiar? The challenges of frontier life and a series of brutal wars had demoralized many, and a shortage of churches and ministers had left many without spiritual care. Many existing churches had degenerated into formal religious institutions with no power to bring the much-needed change. And I ask again, does that sound familiar? This was in 1726. Jonathan Edwards, pastor of the Congregational Church in Northampton, Massachusetts, expressed his concern for the general deadness throughout the land and set himself to seek God for a revival of religion, or I would say a revival. Others also began to seek God diligently, and in 1726, a spiritual awakening broke out in various regions along the eastern seaboard. One of the communities where the Holy Spirit outpoured significant power was Northampton, Massachusetts. Indeed, an awesome sense of His divine presence permeated the entire community. Edwards reports that during the spring and summer 1735, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God. In every part of town, the Spirit of God was powerfully at work until there was scarcely a single person in the town, old or young, left unconcerned about the great things of the eternal world. Without any sort of planned evangelistic outreach, souls did, as it were, come by flocks to Jesus Christ. Edwards Church suddenly filled with those seeking salvation and with those experiencing the fruit of already being born again. He said, our public assemblies were then beautiful. The congregation was alive in God's service. Everyone intent on the public worship. Every hearer eager to drink in the words of the minister as they came from his mouth. The assembly were in general from time to time in tears while the word was preached, some weeping with sorrow and distress, others with joy and love, others with pity and concern for the souls of their neighbors. People from other communities often scoffed when they heard of the events in Northampton. Simply upon entering the community, however, their skepticism inevitably dissipated because of the overwhelming presence of God. As converts returned home, they carried the spirit of revival. I like this. They carried the spirit of revival with them, and so the awakening spread. During this time, Edwards preached his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. So powerfully did conviction of sin grip the people that Sunday morning that the penitent cries for mercy drowned Edwards' voice. Hell became so real to the congregation that some clutched the backs of pews while others wrapped their arms around the pillars to keep, as it were, from being consumed by its eternal flames. Edwards made hell real enough to be found in the Atlas, writes Edwards' biographer, Ola Winslow. The power that accompanied Edwards' preaching was not the result of his topic alone. Preaching on the terrors of hell did not monopolize his messages. He was, in fact, a very sensitive individual who could be melted to tears while contemplating the love and mercy of God. Neither was the power the fruit of oratorical skill, for Edwards normally read his sermons. His preaching derived its power from his prayer life. He would spend whole days and weeks in prayer, and it was not unusual for him to spend 18 hours in prayer prior to preaching a single sermon. The result was a revival that not only transformed the moral and spiritual character of his own community, but also that of the entire nation. Another participant of the First Great Awakening was George Whitfield. He was a friend of the Wesleys, was a gifted preacher and a powerful communicator. Although he was an ordained Anglican clergyman, he was not denominationally prejudiced. In 1739, he arrived in America, traveled the length and breadth of the colonies on the eastern seaboard. Everywhere he went, shopkeepers closed their doors, farmers left their plows, and workers threw down their tools to hurry to the place where he was to preach. At a time when the population of Boston was estimated at 25,000 people, Whitfield preached to 30,000 on Boston Commons. Signs and wonders accompanied Whitfield's preaching. The power of God would move spontaneously throughout the congregation as he spoke. Following his message, further manifestations of the Spirit would occur. On one occasion, after preaching to a huge throng gathered outdoors, Whitfield surveyed the crowd, and noted the amazing response. "Look where I would," he said. "Most were drowned in tears. Some were struck pale as death, others wringing their hands, others lying on the ground, others sinking into the arms of their friends, and most lifting up their eyes to heaven and crying out to God." Benjamin Franklin was a close friend of Whitfield. His testimony of the power of the revival, and particularly significant since he did not profess to be a Christian. Benjamin Franklin, he said that Mr. Whitfield arrived from Ireland in 1739, made himself remarkable there as an itinerant preacher, and then he began to describe what he saw happening. Many manifestations of the Great Awakening would be familiar to modern Pentecostals and charismatics. Falling under the power, for example, was not unusual. Edwards refers to it as fainting and describes one meeting as being full of nothing but outcries, faintings, and the like. Some were so affected and their bodies so overcome that they could not go home but were obliged to stay all night where they were. There were some instances of persons lying in a sort of trance, remaining perhaps for a whole 24 hours motionless and with their senses locked up, but in the meantime under strong imaginations as though they went to heaven and had their visions of glorious and delightful objects. Wow. I'm talking about the First Great Awakening, and people are saying, "What do you mean by a Great Awakening?" Well, I'm reading what happened in the First Great Awakening. In a few moments, I'm going to read what happened in the Second Great Awakening, and I'm praying for the Third Great Awakening. I believe that God operates in threes: Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Spirit, soul, and body. And then he goes on, 3 days. In the tomb. He rose on the third day. And so it goes on and on. We've had two spiritual awakenings. That's where an entire nation was impacted. I believe the entire nation of the United States of America is going to be impacted. And while we wait for destruction and disasters in America, we as Christians, we must live in an aura, in a state of anticipation, believing that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to send one more awakening. Father God, we pray for it. This is a prayer broadcast. Would you help me pray? In Jesus' name. Somebody says, what is it going to look like? Well, we're sensing what it looked like in the first and second awakenings, but it's going to be greater this time. Going to be far more powerful, far more reaching, far more effective. And so we thank you, God, for another spiritual awakening. We are believing you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Before I go to the second a spiritual awakening in America. I want to read a few more lines concerning what happened in the first spiritual awakening in America, which lasted from 1726 until 1750. Here's what it says. The revival in New England had far-reaching implications. Reports in New England alone show 30 to 40,000 converts, 150 new churches. In addition, the revival changed the moral climate of colonial America, spawned extensive missionary work and other humanitarian enterprises. Colleges such as Princeton, Columbia, and Hampton, Sydney were established to equip ministers for the new congregations. The revival also contributed to the growing sense of political independence among the colonists. Harvard professor William Perry states, "The Declaration of Independence of 1776 was a result of the evangelical preaching of the evangelist of the first great awakening." Wow! It impacted the nation to such a place where the Declaration of Independence was written as a result of that. So what are some of the happenings that we could focus on here today on BPN Radio that happened in the First Great Awakening from 1726 to 1750, 24 years? Well, there was a hunger for God. There was a hunger for God, and it actually started with one pastor and one congregation, Jonathan Edwards, in his congregational church in Northampton, Massachusetts. And he was so concerned about the spiritual deadness of the church that he began to seek God. And he began to diligently seek God, and the awakening began to happen. And in every part of town, there was scarcely a single person, old or young, that was left unconcerned about great things of the eternal world. In other words, eternity, heaven and hell. There was no planned evangelistic outreach, but people began to be saved. People came to know Jesus as their personal Savior. There was an outreach of soul winners that were concerned about the lost, and people came to know Jesus. And the services were alive and intent in worship. And people were eager to hear the word of God. And there was a response, an emotional response. Somebody says, "Well, I just don't even believe in being emotional." Well, I was watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Somebody won like $60,000. They were whooping, hollering, jumping up and down, dancing around. And if we do the same thing in church, we're called heretics or radicals or some type of kook. But, you know, when the presence of God demands an emotional response, and when there is no emotional response, it's a sign that not much is happening. And so we find that in the first great awakening, there was an emotional response, weeping, wailing, some rejoicing, some crying. And then, of course, Jonathan Edwards, he spent sometimes 18 to 24 hours in one day in prayer. So all of this was accompanied, or all of this actually started with one man and one church seeking God for revival. And we know that Jonathan Edwards' preaching was not that powerful. He actually read his sermons. I'm not talking about outwardly powerful, but there was a dynamic response to people. And so we know that the results of the First Great Awakening came as a result of prayer. They began to pray, and that's what we're calling people to do, to pray. And then an evangelist came because Jonathan Edwards did not proclaim to be an evangelist. He was a pastor. But an evangelist came, George Whitfield, And he began to preach in the open fields and in the Boston Commons and other places. And sometimes entire towns would respond. And once again, there would be emotional responses, radical responses. People would get saved. Lives would be touched. And it was amazing what was happening during that 24-year period. And so colleges such as Princeton, Columbia were birthed in order to train, preachers of the gospel. And so people were being called to preach, being trained, and then sent out to preach the gospel. People everywhere were responding as a result of the call for a spiritual awakening. And so I'm going to be back in just a moment to talk about the second great awakening and the third great awakening, which is upon us, is upon us as we pray and seek God for revival in America, because what God has done before, he will do it again, only he will do it in a greater dynamic. And so I believe that we as Christians, when we pray, there will be a spiritual awakening. Souls will be saved, believers will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, lives will be changed, and the morality of the nation will be set aright. And so I just believe that revival is all around us. My spiritual grandson Leland is going to sing his latest song, Christ Be All Around Me. Leland and I are going to be ministering together in Austin, Texas, July 19th, 20th, and 21st at Jubilee Christian Center. That's July 19th through 21st, Sunday night through Tuesday night. Here's Leland to sing, then I'm going to be back talking about the spiritual awakening, and we're going to pray some more, so don't go away.
As I rise, strength of God, go before, lift me up. As I wake, eyes of God, look upon, be my sight, yeah. As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain.
Okay.
As I rise,
gotta give you a little. I'm gonna give you another version of "Christ Be All Around Me." Here's Leland with Michael W. Smith.
Lift me up as awake eyes of God. Look upon, be my sight, yeah. Await, heart of God, satisfy and sustain. As I hear voice of God, sees me, Christ be all around.
Okay, there you have Leland and Michael W. Smith. Christ be all around me. Well, it's a good day here on BPN. I want to remind you, listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Dale Gentry here. Delighted to have you listening in, praying with me here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. If you'd like to make a contribution to BPN Breakout Prayer Network, you can go to bpnradio.com. That's bpnradio.com, and go down to the bottom of the page and you can click on the donate button. You can use your PayPal, credit card, debit card, or you can send a check to Breakout Prayer Network, and your gifts are tax deductible. So just pray about what the Holy Spirit have you to do. There's a lot of appeals, I know, today. My goodness. All kinds of things happening out there. But we have one thing in mind, and that is to pray. And anytime we even have special guests on, we always have them to close whatever they're talking about, sharing. Then we go back to the point of saying we got to pray about this. So we're not just talking about it, but we're praying about it. We are watching and praying like Jesus told us to do. And never in the history of the United States of America have we needed prayer more than we need it today. So today we're praying about another spiritual awakening in America. And people have been wondering, what does prayer look like? What does a spiritual awakening look like? And We're praying for a third spiritual awakening, but what is it going to look like? Well, in order to see what's going to happen in the future, we need to review what's happened in the past, because history does repeat itself. Only what has been done in days gone by in moderation will be done in excess in days to come. So we know that there's been two great awakenings. We can look back and see how they started, what happened, what the results were, so that we will know what to pray for and we will know what to anticipate concerning the third, the next great spiritual awakening that I believe that we are beginning to see the first fruits of. So here we go. The second great awakening I'm reading today, you say, well, I thought this is a prayer broadcast. It is, but I'm going to read a little bit. Then we're going to pray some more. And I'm reading from my friend, my longtime friend, Dr. Eddie Hyatt's book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic History, that he wrote in 1998, and I had the privilege of endorsing, along with a lot of my other friends, people that you would probably know, people such as Frieda Lindsay, Billy Joe Daugherty, T.L. Osborne, John Arnott, Gerald Coates, and also Dale Gentry. So anyhow, I had the privilege of endorsing this book along with some great people, some who've already gone to be with the Lord. But one of the greatest books I have ever read, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity, and my friend Eddie Hyatt from Grapevine, Texas, near Dallas, he wrote the book. I couldn't get him on the phone today to talk to him, so I just read him from his book. So I've already read about the first Great Awakening. Here's the second Great Awakening, which started in 1800. It lasted for 40 years, from 1800 till 1840. And here's what he writes. As the 19th century dawned, America was again morally bankrupt. That's where we're at today. A generation had come of age that knew little of the revival that had swept the nation 60 years earlier. 8 years of war had drained the nation's vitality, leaving a dark cloud of spiritual indifference and moral degradation. Negative influences from the French Revolution were penetrating American society, and deism was at its peak of popularity. All of this resulted in a rise in profanity, drunkenness, gambling, and lewdness. Sounds like today. And so he begins to write what began to happen as people begin to pray. He said the revival on the East Coast was tame compared to events across the Allegheny Mountains on the western frontier. He said there James McGreedy, a Presbyterian pastor of three small congregations on the Gasper, Red, and Muddy Rivers in Logan County, Kentucky, sparked revival fires. One man. In 1796, he led his congregation in signing a covenant to pray every Saturday and Sunday morning and to devote the third Saturday of each month to prayer and fasting. Their focus was revival. What was their focus? Their focus was revival. 4 years passed with no obvious change. When suddenly a revival broke out that would eventually change the course of the nation. It started in a weekend meeting at McGreedy's Red River Church. The presence of the Spirit was so intense during the first 2 days of the meeting that the congregation was reduced to tears several times. On the final day, after the formal service had ended and the other ministers had left, two Methodist ministers, John and William McGay, lingered behind with the congregation. The Holy Spirit seemed to permeate the very atmosphere, and weeping could be heard throughout the house. Finally, John McGee rose to his feet to give one final exhortation. Here's what he said. He exhorted them to let the Lord Omnipotent reign in their hearts and submit to Him, and their souls should live. Many broke silence. The women in the east end of the house shouted tremendously. He said, I left the pulpit to go to her. Several spoke to me. You know these people, Presbyterians, are much for order. They will not bear the confusion, so go back and be quiet. I turned to go back and was near falling. The power of God was strong upon me. I turned again, and losing sight of fear of man, I went through the house shouting and exhorting with all possible ecstasy and energy, and the floor was soon covered by the slain in the spirit. News of the event spread quickly. McGreedy announced another meeting for the end of July at the Gaspar River Church. Response was phenomenal. Some traveled 100 miles to be in the meetings. I'm telling you now, this is before the automobile. They traveled 100 miles to be in the meetings. Many came with tents prepared to camp out for 4 days. The church was much too small, so they cleared away the underbrush from around the church, erected a preaching stand, and built simple log seats outdoors. This was probably the first planned camp meeting in America, and for that matter, in the world. The first service continued throughout the night. Sleep and physical comfort seemed to be forgotten as things eternal gripped the hearts and minds of the people. On Sunday evening, as John McGay preached, the cries of the penitent almost drowned his voice. People throughout the congregation fell prostrate on the ground. Cries of distress over sin soon gave way to shouts of joy arising out of assurance of salvation. Barton W. Stone, pastor of Presbyterian churches at Concord and Cane Ridge in Bourbon County, Kentucky, had attended the Red River meeting, convinced it was a genuine work of God. He applied McGreedy's principles, and revival fires began to burn in his two congregations as well. Beginning on August 6th, 1801, Stone and several other ministers conducted a camp meeting at Cane Ridge that was exceptional both in terms of attendance and signs and wonders. One person counted 1,143 vehicles parked in the area, and estimates of those in attendance range from 10 to 25,000. James Crawford, one of the ministers present, reported about 3,000 being slain in the spirit. Some broke out in loud laughter, where others ran and shouted. The people generally accepted these manifestations as the work of God. They attracted the curious as well as unbelievers, who often went away convinced of their divine origin. James Finlay, who was not a professing Christian, attended the Cane Ridge camp meeting and reported the following. The noise was like the roar of Niagara. The vast sea of human beings seemed to be agitated as if by a storm. Some of the people were singing, others praying, some crying for mercy in the most piteous accents, while others shouted joyfully. A strange supernatural power seemed to pervade the entire mass of mind there collected. At one time, I saw at least 500 swept down in a moment, as if a battery of 1,000 guns had been opened upon them, and then immediately followed shrieks and shouts that rent the very heavens. He said, I fled for the woods and wished I had stayed at home. The revival, perhaps because of the nature and number of manifestations, had its critics. And speaking in tongues was not necessarily emphasized. However, incidents of tongue speaking did occur in the various camp meetings throughout the country. The University of Georgia, for example, felt the effects of this revival, and when students visited campgrounds, many were seized by the Spirit of God. They swooned away, lay for hours in the straw, prepared for those smitten of the Lord, or they started suddenly to flee away and fell prostrate as if shot by a sniper, or they took suddenly to jerking with apparently every muscle in their body until it seemed they would be torn to pieces or converted into marble, or they shouted and talked in unknown tongues. Camp meetings were introduced, immediately became popular. Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists often joined together in great general camp meetings with thousands attending. The revival grew, gaining momentum like a great tidal wave. Peter Cartwright, a Methodist preacher, stated, "The work went on and spread almost in every direction, gathering additional force till our country seemed all coming to God." The Second Great Awakening was in many respects a charismatic revival bringing renewal to the churches and institutions of frontier America. The numerical results were as astounding as the spiritual manifestations. Between 1800 and 1803, in Kentucky alone, the Baptist churches added 10,000 new members and the Methodist 40,000 new members. The Spirit of God prevailed over infidelity and deism, and the religious character of the United States was assured for generations to come. It was reported that cities across America had to lay off their law enforcement officers because they had nothing to do. It was reported in Rochester, New York, that they could not find anyone, maybe two or three, that did not know the Lord. An entire city came to know Jesus Christ. That was the great. That was the Second Great Awakening, and now we are anticipating the next one, the Third Great Awakening. So, in Jesus' name, we pray right now for another Great Awakening. In Jesus' name, in America, the United States of America, as our enemies and forces of darkness attempt to shut the church down, attempt to silence the pulpit, attempt to bring fear into every corner, nook, and cranny of this nation, as the media and the airwaves are filled with reports of lawlessness and violence and immorality, in the midst of it all, in the name of Jesus, I declare, proclaim, a third awakening is coming, a new wave of revival, I am declaring by the Holy Ghost, is about to sweep across our nation, across our land. People becoming hungry for God. Just a few people to begin with. Just a few churches to begin with, calling their churches to pray, calling for repentance, calling for people to change their ways, give their lives to Jesus. It's going to happen. It's going to start in the street. Some, it may be on your street. In some street, it's going to spill over into churches. Some churches are already praying, and it will sweep into their congregations and turn. There will be radical changes. The spirit of worship will be in the service. And strong repentance, people turning back to God, people repenting of their sins, people getting right with God, people asking forgiveness, people paying their debts, people loving their wives and wives respecting their husbands, and the family altar will return, and young preachers will come out of obscurity to preach the gospel, and signs and wonders will be seen in many cities, at least 1,000 cities across America. It will change the spiritual climate. And out of that will come preachers out of the nation's capital who will preach and declare the gospel, another spiritual awakening. Would you help me pray? Father God, we pray for another spiritual awakening all across America, all across this nation. And I'm asking other nations to help me pray. And so I just declare in cities all across the land, Hainesville, North Carolina, Hendersonville, North Carolina, Rockingham, North Carolina, in Bolivar, Ohio, Fairlawn, Ohio, Bethany, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Westport, Oklahoma. I'm calling for revival in Amarillo, Texas, in Allen, Texas, in Albany, Texas, in Bedford, Texas, Garland, Texas, Louisville, Tennessee, Clewiston, Texas, Louisville, Kentucky, Houston, Texas, Shiner, Texas, Vega, Texas, Williamsburg, Virginia, Blaine, Washington, Madison, Wisconsin, in cities all across America, I declare we will see revival. And Lord, I'm asking that you give us 1,000 cities that are praying for revival. I ask that you give us 1,000 prayer leaders. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can lead a prayer group. You can lead a prayer group. All you have to do is go to bpnradio.com and go down to 1,000 BPN prayer centers and register. Sign in if you're leading a public group or a private group. But we want to put your name down as a prayer leader and the name of your city. If it's a public prayer group, we'll put the name of the church or the name of the prayer group or the ministry. If it's private, we'll list private. But we are believing for 1,000 prayer leaders in Jesus' name. And we will pray until we experience another revival in America in 1,000 cities, the third great awakening. The third great awakening. Would you agree with me right now? Father, in Jesus' name, we agree for another spiritual awakening in America in the very midst of all of the evil reports and all of the predictions and forecasts that we believe. Many are very true, but we believe that all of these things can be reversed if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's what you said, Lord. Turn from our wicked ways. You said you would hear from heaven, forgive our sin, heal our land. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Would you keep praying with me here on BPN Radio? Would you tell other people about BPN Radio, what we're doing? What we're believing for, that we're believing for revival in the home, revival in the church, revival in the city, and a spiritual awakening in our nation. Thank you for listening today. I'll be back tomorrow at the same time or any time as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. This broadcast is produced by Michael Sean Bourne. Here's Michael.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.